Holy God of limitless surprises, meet us here in this place as we touch that which we cannot see and that which we have not dared to hope.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to Concordia United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Claire Douglas, and I'm so excited to be here with all of you this morning. You know, I have the best seat in the house because I get to watch Marty and Cindy play, and their fingers were just flying in that. So thank you so much for that beautiful, beautiful music this morning. I don't have any announcements. Does anybody else have anything that they need to share with the congregation? Thank you. We were just at United Methodist Children's Services about a week ago, doing some work there, and we did not quite get everything done. And because we really love the organization and we love the people we work with, we are going back to paint a couple porches that we missed. And we would love your help. So on the 17th, we are going to go over to Milwaukee to United Methodist Children's Services. We'll just be there for the day. So if you are willing to paint some porches, let me know and I can connect you, or Bruce, probably. Bruce would probably be a better option. let Bruce know, and we will appreciate the help. Will you please stand and sing hymn number 145, Morning Has Broken?
Praise. The Lord comes to us this day. Are you ready?
We are ready.
The Lord challenges us to be in ministries of peace and hope. Are you ready?
We are ready.
Let us praise God who calls us to serve God by helping others.
Praise be to God who has given us hope and peace. Amen.
Please remain standing and turn in the red hymnal, page 601, Thy Word. Please pray with me. We thank you, God, for giving us this place and time, for interrupting us with your gift of love and life. Surprise us today with your justice and righteousness. Startle us with your goodness and mercy. Stagger us with your hope and peace. Challenge us so that our eyes will remain wide open as we leave this place, wondering what you will be doing this week in our world and with us. Amen. You may be seated.
Normally, I would invite the children to come forward, but I do not see any today, and this is going to be a hard children's sermon to do without children. Sometimes I can get away with it, because we were going to play hide-and-seek with my special friend who's in the back there, my stuffed animal. So I am going to save that children's sermon for another day, and I'm going to let you read the scripture. Sometimes they can make it work. This one's a little hard.
From Psalms 118, verses 21 through 29. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine upon us. With bows in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever.
Invite Dwayne to share some special music with us.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here today. It's curious what you remember and when. When practicing with Pam a couple weeks ago, I recalled organizing my first funeral about 60 years ago. While I wasn't a 5-year-old funeral director prodigy, I made crosses out of sticks for the deceased who were interred in our backyard under an apple tree on a warm summer day. From Sunday school or church, Jesus' words from Matthew 10 must have left an impression on me. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny, and not one of them will fall to the ground without your Father's will? Fear not, therefore, you are of more worth than many sparrows. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. His tender words I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubt and fear. Though by the path He leadeth, but one step I may see, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For I know this, I'm the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
That was really beautiful. Thank you very much. And we must have been on the same page, because you read a passage from Luke, and I'm going to read a passage from Luke. So it all works out. Luke chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes in the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are the slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of God. Very rarely do I ever preach from the lectionary, but we're going to this week. So that's actually the lectionary reading for this week. There's a wonderful ecumenical Bible study in town, and some of my colleagues who read Greek better than I do gave me some insight into this text that I thought was very interesting. So watch out for that little piece of insight. My Greek is non-existent, but I can fake it occasionally. So, will you pray with me? Holy God, we know that you are a God of surprises, a God who shows up in times and places that we do not expect. Help us to be watching for you always, to find you in our world, that we may grow closer to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Every Sunday night, my family holds a family dinner. This tradition dates back to when I was in high school, and my parents, along with my two brothers and I, moved to the Madison area where my grandparents, aunt, and uncle already lived. My Nana began to host dinner every Sunday night, and no matter what else was happening, whether I was working my high school job as a cashier at a grocery store or had some kind of school event, I always managed to make it over to her house for Sunday night dinner. My grandparents recently left their farmhouse in Oregon and moved into a retirement community, so my mother has taken over this tradition. Last week, as I was listening to my family chat with each other during the meal, I noticed first that most of us used time to catch up with one another, but after the initial questions about jobs and family members ceased, my family's conversation turned in a different direction. We began to tell funny stories about one another from the past. These same stories seem to come up over and over again at the dinner table, and everyone seems to have a different opinion on how the story really happened. So I'm wondering this morning, does your family have any stories that have been repeated and retold so many times that they have become legend? One such story in my family involves my obsession with a nativity set that was located in our living room when I was about 3 years old. The set included figurines of the parents of Jesus, the baby, a couple shepherds, some wise men, and a variety of farm animals. I seemed to view the nativity set as my own personal dollhouse, and every day I would rearrange the figures. One day my dad came home, and every figure in the stable was crowded around the baby Jesus. So he asked me, "Claire, what are the figures doing?" I replied, "They wanted to see the baby." That made sense, so when my dad passed by the set the next day and noticed that all the figures were now located on the roof of the stable, he was more than a little bit confused. He found me and asked, "Claire, why are all the figures on the roof?" I replied, "They're waiting to find out what happens next." There are so many times in life when we may feel like those nativity characters. Something big has happened in our lives. Changes have occurred. Transition is in process, and we simply do not know what to do now. I don't know about you, but there have been many times in my life when I have found myself metaphorically standing on a roof thinking, what happens next? The gospel message is all about times of transition and living in the uncertainty of waiting for what happens next. Jesus was born at a time of transition for the Israelite people. In the Old Testament, we see the Israelites go from a nomadic tribe of people living in tents to a great kingdom building beautiful temples to honor the Lord. But after a few glorious years of kings whose names are still in our memory, such as Saul, David, and Solomon, Israel was conquered first by the Assyrians, then the Babylonians, and finally by the Roman Empire. From the very first moment that the Israelites were conquered and carried off into exile as a people, the Israelites began to dream of a time when they would be restored as rulers of their own kingdom, when the great temple in Jerusalem would be rebuilt and peace would reign throughout their land. Jesus and his disciples were born into this time of longing, of waiting, of hoping. If you were to ask a first century Jew what they wanted more than anything else in the world, he or she would probably tell you they wished for peace and happiness throughout their land. Yet first century Judea was far from a peaceful and happy place. Although the Romans allowed the Jewish people to practice their religion somewhat reluctantly, the Roman Empire placed high taxes and stringent laws on their Jewish vassals, which were hard for the Israelites to bear. The Israelites were waiting for a Messiah, a Savior, to deliver them from the Romans, someone who they imagined would save them with military might and restore Israel's monarchy. It is into this time of fear, transition, and change that Jesus speaks to the crowds teaching. He says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourself that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are awaiting their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit and eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." This first phrase that Jesus speaks in these teachings from Luke is, "Do not be afraid." This is probably not as surprising as it may first seem, since the most common phrase in the Bible is, "Do not be afraid." It is often said that this phrase can be found 365 times, once for every day of the year. Even though it is often God or a messenger of God who speaks this phrase, I don't think this says as much about God as it does about humanity. I don't think God expects us to give up our fears. On the contrary, I think that God recognizes that fear is a part of what makes us human, that in the midst of transition and changes, in those moments when we don't know what to do next, we as humans are afraid. I think when God says, "Do not be afraid," God is meeting us in that emotion and is ready to be with us there. Next, Jesus offers his disciples and us by extension a promise. We need not be afraid because God wants to give us God's kingdom. In fact, it is God's good pleasure to give us God's kingdom. Despite what is going on in the world around us, despite what changes may be occurring, despite how we may be feeling, God wants to give us God's kingdom and all of God's goodness that goes with it. So Jesus reminds his disciples and us that even in the midst of our fears and the changes that are going on around us, we must focus on the important things, to put our treasure and our trust in places where it cannot be easily destroyed, not in material things or worldly institutions, which will inevitably fail, but in heavenly places, which cannot be touched by the problems and pain of this world. For where our treasure is, our hearts will be also. Lastly, Jesus gives his disciples and us a parable. Jesus describes a master who is at any moment going to arrive home from a trip, and his servants who are waiting to assist the master. Jesus describes the vigilance of these good servants staying up all night and keeping the lamps lit in hopes that the master will be there soon. Likewise, Jesus challenges us to be ready at any moment because the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Unexpected hour in this passage might be better translated as a time beyond your understanding or a time beyond your imagination. So Jesus will be present among us in a time beyond our understanding. I don't know about you, but every time I turn on the news these days, I feel like we are living in a time beyond my understanding. I feel like things are happening at a pace that confounds me. I feel like there is more hatred, more pain, and more anger in this world day by day. I read at the time of the last presidential election that more people, regardless of political beliefs, were genuinely afraid of the outcome of the presidential election than at any other time in history. It's statistics like these that sometimes make it hard for me to think that God's kingdom is coming any moment, and that in many ways may already be here. It's hard for me to focus on the things that matter, the kind of unfailing treasures found in heaven versus the kind of things that make me feel secure here on earth. And yet, it gives me hope to know that I am not the first disciple of Christ to feel this way, that Jesus asks us to be not afraid, that Jesus promises us that God wants to give us God's goodness in the form of God's kingdom, that even in a time beyond our understanding, that God is still here walking alongside us. I've been thinking a lot about one of my favorite verses from Psalms. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. At first, this seems like such an easy thing to say and sing, but it is not. It takes courage to rejoice and be glad in a day that is far from perfect. It takes courage to rejoice and be glad in a day that you may not have chosen were you given the option. Yet this, where we are right now, with all its pain, fear, and problems, is the day that the Lord has made. So let us rejoice and be glad in it. Michelle Obama said, "You may not always have a comfortable life, and you will not always be able to solve all of the world's problems at once, but don't ever underestimate the importance you can have, because history has shown that courage can be contagious and hope can take on a life of its own." Let us go forth in this day that the Lord has made, comforted knowing that our God is the one who tells us to be not afraid, wants to give us God's good kingdom, and works in times and ways that are beyond our understanding, so that we may be ready to find out what happens next. Amen and amen. Will you stand and join me in singing "You Are Mine" in The Faith We Sing, number 2218. Please be seated. I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our tithes and our offerings. Freely we have received from God. Let us freely give.
Join me in the prayer of thanksgiving. We give in grateful thanksgiving for all that God has given us. In the upside-down world of the gospel, we measure our wealth not by what we have, but what we can give away. Let us give away generously in this offering to bless your church, your people, and your creation. Amen.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you to share any prayer requests that you may have this morning. Your Aunt Mary passed away this afternoon, or Thursday afternoon. We pray for you and for all of your family in this time of grieving. We pray that you would know God's strength and God's peace in this time. I have a prayer request here on the card for Terry Hansen, who's soon to have back surgery. We pray that that surgery would be successful and that God would guide the hands of the doctors and nurses, that she would recover quickly. Wonderful. Chris shares with us that the sister that she asked us to pray for earlier because she got laid off has a job offer, which is very exciting. We pray that that will be a wonderful opportunity for her.
And she's 66 years old.
And she's 66 years old. Are there any other prayers this morning? Will you take a moment to silently pray? Holy God, you love us so much. You walk alongside us, comforting us and telling us not to be afraid. You want to give us goodness in life. You want to give us your kingdom. Lord, even in the midst of times beyond our understanding, we know that you never leave us, that you are always with us, always holding our hands. Lord, today we pray especially for those with health concerns. We pray that they would strengthen day by day, that they would know your blessing, and that they would heal. We pray especially for those who are suffering from cancer. We pray that you would help the doctors and nurses make the best decisions, that they may recover quickly. We pray today for those who are in long-term care facilities or are living at home. Lord, we know that it is frustrating and isolating sometimes to not be with friends and family and be able to move as much as one used to. We pray that they would know that they are not alone even in this moment. Lord, we pray for all of those who need your help. We pray that you would walk alongside them as you walk alongside us today and every day. We pray this is the prayer you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's me, right? Let us go forth, knowing that even in this time beyond our understanding, that God is present with us, that God wants to give us God's goodness, and that we need not be afraid. Amen.
Please turn in the red hymnal to page 657, This is the Day.